Good evening. Tonight is July 23rd, 2017. Tonight we're at the Rosenkreis Institute for our seventh lecture in our series Enlightenment and Illumination. And in our last lectures, we wanted to show something of the history of our modern age. When we speak of the modern age, we really want to make a demarcation for you, something that we think of as the Renaissance. And the Renaissance is a very significant change in human history, but also represents that forming of our age today. And the age today, this age today, will extend far into the future to bring it about that human beings take it upon themselves, their destiny and their karma. And so I beg you, my friends, to really grasp what that means for you. Because so many people in the world are caught by the world. Now, that's not the world that you live in. That's a world that you're needing to transform for yourself. You take up that world inside of you and you work on it. What you don't like, you put it back out. And this is enlightenment. This was what was to be given to human beings, not just jobs and houses, not just dishwashers and backyards with swimming pools. But that's what people ended up thinking that it was about. But that is not enlightenment, my friends. It's a darkening. It's a darkness for the soul. It's a corrupting form for the soul, in fact. What it does to human beings, we can't go into today, and it doesn't really matter. What is important for all of us to understand is that we traded an age of spirituality and sacred life for the freedom of pursuing our own path of spirituality. But when that path of spirituality is no longer spiritual and people turn their backs on heaven, and truly heaven, the heaven that we speak of when we speak of enlightenment, for it is enlightenment when we think of a heaven within. People that are agitated within, even no matter what they have in money or anything, they're still agitated. And they still look out into the world and they still say, look at all the people that are being seduced by things. But most of the time, the people in the world are more and more innocent. More and more have to work harder and harder, and more is it that the luxuries of life are no longer accessible to people. They can't get to them. We can no longer access them like we could. More and more people are working all the time and can't enjoy anyway what they have. And if they could sit and enjoy it, they're so nervous about all the things that they think they should be doing. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody what they should be doing. That's not important. What is really important is to get a focus and a picture on what it is that calms the soul, for instance. Can the spiritual life really calm the soul? And people deny that, and that's why they go after the materialism, because they think that is exciting. That's going to calm their soul to be more excited. Now, you just work that out for yourself. That's right. It's very difficult, isn't it, when you think about that? So there's something out of control within a human being that needs to be, in a certain way, understood. And so in our spiritual studies, we teach students how to understand what it is that's wild in them. What is wild in you, my friends? What is wild in your nature? You have to point that out. You have to be able to create an I inside of yourself. And you need to look at that. And you need to say, this has to get under control. If all the money in the world came to you, would you still be wild inside? Would you still be corrupt inside? So the money really isn't profitable for you. Or any kind of money. Because money corrupts your soul. If you're of that nature that the world knows how to corrupt you, then it delivers to you something that makes you even worse than the things you criticize. At the end of your life, you think you're fine. You've made a pile of money, but you've become the person that you don't like, the one that you've been pointing your finger at all your life. It takes a lot of truth to understand this. To take a dosage of truth will give every human being that takes that dosage a great and enormous elixir of healing. It will strengthen the body. It will strengthen the whole organism. When we talk about corruptions that enter into human beings, we mean that the soul knows, like this, it says, I have to use a lot of power to not do that. So I will do it. Because it would take too much power for me not to. I want you to examine these thoughts as they arise within you. Think to yourself, how often the easy path looks so easy, but the easy path turns out to be the most difficult of all. Because the hard thing of resisting it is there. And the soul knows this is a hard thing to resist. Now, for your own enlightenment, if you go through the path of enlightenment, you enlighten yourself about what it is that's going on. And if you enlighten yourself in that way, what will begin to occur is that you will create the strength within you to do the things that your soul has been telling you. And you pluck them out one by one. One by one. And each new one that you conquer gives you twice as much strength each time. And you get excited about going to the next and the next and the next. This is the facts, my friends. Now, when you stack all that up, it's better. It's exactly the same, but better. It's exactly the same as winning on a jackpot machine. It's exactly the same. Except this time, you don't have to go to a cashier and get your money. You go to your own self. And what turns into you is power, health, well-being, and strength. It is so true. Now, I want you to weigh that up against this factor. How much it costs you when you get ill from the things that you just let go. How much will it cost you? And when you weigh those things against that, you'll see that the cost for your transgressions is huge. If you are able to do that, if you are strong enough to do that, if you have enough wisdom and life left to actually go through these processes, because each time you strengthen yourself, you say, at last, and I get a new breath of life. I get a new wind in my sails. I get a new sailboat, in fact. That's the best thing you will ever purchase for yourself, and you will not have to pay a dime for it. You just have to pay attention to the enlightenment of your being. People used to talk about the age of enlightenment. Today they talk about the age of industry. But it's not their industry, it's your industry they talk about. It's your slavery. The age of industry is the age of slavery, enslaving all of mankind. That is the truth. Mankind is enslaved in the age of industry. He not only loves the industry, he doesn't even notice what a slave he's become of the industry. And this is so true because he's willing to pay every dime, everything that he gets in, everything that comes in to the industry, to the industrializations of all things. So to take some time to pay attention to your body, to truly pay attention to your body, how much does your body need? Compared to all the greed that's sitting inside of a human soul, the body doesn't need that much. Compared to the greed, if your body stays healthy, how much does it need? As opposed to when it's ill. And I'll tell you this much, almost every penny that you have is not enough for an ill body. That's right. Every penny. Doesn't matter how rich. There are many, 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 many people in the world that are extremely rich and cannot pay for their health. There is no money to cure them. There's no money that can be paid for it. And the price paid for that illness was a lack of enlightenment. The enlightenment of our age has to do with the enlightenment of also feeling the strength of pursuing a path that is not greedy. It is not vain. To be greedy and over greedy is going to drive all your forces away. To know exactly what is necessary and to work towards the necessary aspects of things. This much, and this is good for me. If I go too far, I expend my health as well. A health I cannot afford to give. So as persons moving through this age to find the peace and the tranquility, also to spread this news amongst other people so that other people are strong in the same way. Because when the waves of the greed come, when the waves of those greedy programs come to sweep over humanity, and when the wave goes past, a few become rich, but it leaves behind these broken bodies. As if a wave came ashore and there was a whole school of crabs or some other creatures on the shore. And a few of the crabs said, "Yippee, yippee," but lots of other ones were crashed to pieces by the waves, dashed to pieces. When the wave receded, there they were, all flipped over on their sides. And some were strong. Very, very few. And so it is, my friends, the waves are strong today. The wild, wild waves of the earth. Now, we're not saying you shouldn't swim out there in those waves. We're not saying that you shouldn't brave them. Not at all. We're just trying to show you what it is that is another path. We're not telling you have to take that path in order to be happy or anything like that. We're just showing you another path. And what is the advantage of this path? What it brings about for those that go down it. It is not a path of riches, but it is a path of a very rich life. You have to differentiate how you call rich something that relates to money, when riches can relate to the art of your nature. Health in itself is already one wealth for anyone that achieves it. And health depends upon the balance of your soul. Read in any medical book. 80% or more of all illnesses are caused by nervous disorders, excessive worry. Think about it. There's your stockbroker worrying every minute, taking his Tums and his other tummy relaxers. Rolaids, yeah, Tums and Rolaids. To win. To win what? To lose his health and to win. And they really scream when they go into those places and the doctors tell them what's wrong. They really scream because it really is a painful thing when their tummies go out. And then from there, everything. their sexuality, their virility, their will, the love of life. Everything is all dependent on those things. And when human beings find themselves in those positions, they're miserable. And people around them pity them. The health and well-being of the maintenance of the health and well-being of us depends upon our enlightenment. The enlightenment to know this is the right way. This is what I need to do. This is not a good, healthy path for me to pursue all this. To turn your back. To say no. Not all the money in the world can bring me to those things that corrupt my soul. The soul is the treasure, my friends. If you value the soul as much as any or greater treasure than you can accumulate upon the earth, then you really know what the soul is. I'm assuming that you're going to have faith in your soul because you don't know the value. And I'm also going to tell you, you don't need to know the value like that, but you will know the value if you follow the path of enlightenment. This is a modern enlightenment. This is not to be confused with an enlightenment of the 18th century. This is not a romanticism. This is not about sending your soul headlong into enchantments. If you studied my previous courses, you know what we're talking about here, so you can evolve what this enlightenment is about. This is the crowning achievement of many years worth of work when we speak of enlightenment here. But you can get an idea of it. Is to illumine your self-consciousness, is to illumine what is inside of you that suffers, and then to change the suffering. Now here's the key, underline that. To change your suffering soul. First you have to admit your suffering. If you're running out in the streets babbling away about everybody else suffering, you're not focusing on yourself. It's really inside yourself that it begins. It starts there. And then you think it's out there somewhere. Somebody else is suffering, so you talk about them. Really, you want them to admit it so that you can admit it for yourself, so that you can feel comfortable. That's all. But if you just go to the process yourself, that'll work. But you want others to do it too, so that you can gather up information, just like we gather up information in the streets about what to do, don't we? That's what we do. We want other people to notice the suffering ego. Today in psychology, they don't want an ego inside of a person. Do you realize why? Because the ego is related to your suffering self. You can't suffer without an ego. You can only have aches and pains about things that you can't have. If you don't have an ego, you would only be able to suffer according to your desires. Because you have a desire body, that suffers for sure. You see? The desire body, over time, learns how to calm itself. Not to desire things that it shouldn't desire. Not to look at things it shouldn't look at, so it desires them. Like donuts or bread. Or things that make you sick. Sugars at the wrong time. You learn how to move your eyes at the right time, and then you do the right thing at the right time. This is then to have illumination. You have illuminated a portion of yourself that knows, and you darken the other parts of yourself so that it doesn't know at that time. Illumination. And to darken the soul is how you manage your desire nature. Enlightenment is to see what is suffering inside of you and to change that suffering. In our modern age, the ego of mankind is a suffering ego. But it's not supposed to suffer. Look at all the painkillers that we have. Look at all the things you do because you want to dampen your suffering. You want to take that suffering away. You want to tell yourself you're not suffering. But the fact is, you are suffering. You are certainly suffering. You're suffering because you don't know where God is. You're suffering because you don't know where love is. You don't know how, actually, to achieve love. As an ego upon this earth, love is one of the most aggressive requirements that you can have. To demand people to love you is an act of aggression. It's one of the most aggressive deeds a human being can do. You see? You see how the ego suffers now? So it dampens that. It doesn't want people to know that. In fact, our society is all designed to say that love is a really wonderful thing. Love is a great thing, my friends. We're not saying it isn't. It's to demand love. Does that make sense? Have you caught yourself yet in that particular process? Well, illumination is going to show you this, but enlightenment is going to give you a capacity to see something bigger. Your ego needs to see something more than that. In fact, it's like the world. Your ego needs to see a world. It needs to see past its own shoulders, past its own nose. When you demand other people to love you, you are being aggressive. And you don't even know it. That's blindness. And it can get even worse. You could be kind to people so that you bait them into loving you, and then you are even more aggressive. You can be very clever at that. In fact, the whole aspect of giving can break down. The whole idea that we are kind and giving people when really we want people to serve us. But these are necessary things for our enlightenment, aren't they? Isn't that what the Age of Enlightenment was about? To free people. To free slaves. The ego itself has enslaved our whole nature with a false idea. And when we begin to expand ourselves, when we begin to expand ourselves in a loving way, that means we have to change this suffering ego. It suffers actually more. It suffers more because it has to really bleed. It has to bleed its blood. It has to bleed out its characteristics into the world so that it really feels. I mean, you're going to feel the egoism, the ego natures of others. Not everybody has a strong ego either. Not everybody wants to be loved at all. In fact, they want to be givers and receive nothing. See the difference? It's an interesting thing to understand. Very, very, very powerful. Very, very, very difficult. The wisdom of this path takes enlightenment. So I'm inviting you into this so that you can find and work on a path for yourself. Knowing this is going to give you an incentive. Knowing this shouldn't break you down and say, so you shouldn't say inside of yourself, oh, I'm a terrible person. I don't want you to gloat on how terrible you might think you might be. I want you to think, how can I work it so that this is not how I appear? And work at it. Bring it about that this is a work in motion. This is what life brings to you, is the possibilities of practicing, of working, to establish yourself as a new point, as a new principle every day, to work upon what you are. This is what we're talking about when we say we are an ego now. We are a creative point. We're going to take that time and we're going to put that time out there to make that time valuable for ourselves and for others. We're going to see how this works. Now, in our spiritual work in this school, it is also true that the ego, in changing itself, also changes the whole atmosphere. So when you change your atmosphere, you're changing also the atmosphere of your friends, the people that come to you and love you, or the people that need you. That atmosphere that they breathe from you, if it's a healthy and fresh atmosphere that you are able to give out, then they're going to breathe back towards you a new life. This is what we want to point out. So that that change within you, that illumination within you, gives you the power to collaborate again in ever new and creative ways. So you reestablish yourself. You begin to dissolve that which is within you that's hardened and says, this is how you have to be. You begin to give yourself the opportunity to recreate yourself in a healthy way. If you find within yourself this power in this new life, and you see how people want to encourage you and to give you every opportunity, every bit of their opportunity to give to you, to help you and for you to assist them. The reciprocity of the human being, the reciprocity of the heart working and building itself as a spiritual relationship into your environment, then taking that all the way into the spiritual worlds where you feel the spiritual beings are pressing near to you, pressing into you for the fact of the life that you lead upon the earth. They want to be near your soul. What is it that a person brings into the world that's connected to the spirit in this way? It's a very significant thing, my friends. That is the whole key to everything we do in this school. And that is that when the soul feels the descending forms of the spirit, when the soul feels that descend into the whole nature of the human soul, it pushes out the negative, the bad, the ugly, the horrible. And it fills that body with a health giving freshness, like the morning. When the morning comes, and there comes the wind of freshness. And so it is for you. When you have breathed that spirit into yourself, there comes to you something that your friends, the friends around you, the loved ones that you have around you can feel. This is something that you can breathe into the atmosphere around them. You don't have to exactly say anything to them. But when you feel the freshness of the spirit come through you, come into you, you feel now that your tensions, your nerves, your whole being has found that peace and tranquility that is worth the wealth of kings. Truly, the wealth of kings. We can't repeat it enough. This spiritual relationship between the human body and the cosmos depends upon the strength of your will. The strength of your will to know that the greatest treasure is your connection to the spirit. The treasure in wealth, the treasure in your wealth that is health, the treasure that you have a spontaneous power to heal yourself that others would at any time need if they actually find themselves in ill health. They need also to have that spontaneity, that power. It is the Spirit that gives it to us. And you read it in the Gospels. You don't need to rely on the Gospels here, but if you're someone who loves the Gospels, you can find it in the Gospels. This is based on the Spirit of Truth. And so because it is the Spirit of Truth, it is also an enlightenment for us. We illumine the truth. We become enlightened by the truth. The truth that spreads through our being, fills us with new life, healing life. It's a great and enormous power. To use that power, to wield that power into our organization, to wield it in front of others and then say to them, look, this is my character. Now, you don't say it exactly like that, but they see you. They are surprised. They want it. They breathe it. They say, oh, that's how you breathe. They want to breathe like that. When they see you breathe, then they want to breathe like that. That's how you want to look at a human being that is undergoing enlightenment. You want to see the stature. Look at the paintings of the men of the Age of Enlightenment. Look at how their statures were, strong and bold and tall, noble. And so it is too in our age. We refound this spirit within us. We are noble. We are of a noble character. When you see the corrupted forms of human beings, they're more like a creature. When the corruption gets into a human soul and it's about money and things like that, in reality, we are looking at the demise of a human being to the state of a creature with a human face. He's an ugly thing because a human being flaunts it. It's as if you took a dog and stuck the dog's spirit inside of a man and then put him at a table, and then he gloats over his food and he chomps at it, and then he says, look at how rich I am. Huh? How much do you have? It's like a dog talking. Truly, this is the age we live in. This is what happens to human beings. It is a phenomena. It was so true for so many centuries. It was so true, my friends, that any kind of wealth that ended up in the hands of evil men was much more rare and looked down upon. It was looked down upon in previous ages. But it was also rare that men of a diabolical nature had a great wealth. Good men became wealthy. Read in some of the ancient sagas and you see that. The praise given to the wealthy, to the landlord. Read in the book of Odysseus by Homer. There his swineherd praises his landlord, the lord of his life, that gives him a wife and a house to live in. It's an amazing thing when you think here is a landlord that gives a wife to his swineherd. He gives him a house so that he can live with her, so that he's not a poverty-stricken man, but a man of honor. These are great things. These are noble deeds. And today, for the enlightenment of our age, it is also important to see that somewhere along the path of our wealthy human beings today, that they also have the power to see where goodness can come. Now, we're not just talking about giving money to people, because if we continue to do like that, and people continue to just take money and go in a free way without any appreciations, then enlightenment is not in our age again. Freedom is one thing, but freedom to do as you like has corrupted human beings. That's not the same. Freedom of spirit freedom in our hearts, freedom to love and to worship how we feel, and to feel in a good way. That's the age of enlightenment. The age of enlightenment to come for us is an age that we build because we understand it. Our egos have to recreate this world because the world has buried our egos, and our egos are buried in suffering. The whole desire for all that wealth is really just the balance, the balance of the consciousness of the ego that feels within itself its suffering. That's why it balances itself with all that desire, with all that covetousness. It wants to covet all those things because it's not satisfied. The minute your ego is satisfied and carved its path and put its consciousness in a concentrated way upon that path, and to be focused upon that light of that path, and to say this is a good path, and to know that that path is just as wealthy and full of riches as any path. It just comes in a different way. It comes in the way of character. It comes in the way of love by the cosmos. Any student that studies this work and achieves the level of character that is expressed in these lectures will be wealthy, will be esteemed, that will be a wealth, will be given things spontaneously by friends, that is a wealth. When you are in need, to be loved and to be given things to keep you alive, because you don't need so much and you only take what is necessary for your life. You're not a man or a woman of a greedy nature. Take what is adequate and not more. And you give also, you give more than is required, more than is asked. You give more than people ask from you. This is the ideal that we set before you. Of course, not everybody can achieve these things, but over a lifetime, it is that the style and the grace and the character of this that spreads into our world makes a strong society. It becomes a contagious thing, just like it's contagious to be ill. It is just as contagious to be full of this richness of spirit, this beauty of spirit, this power and strength of spirit, this health and well-being of spirit that fills your body with character. It is a breath you take in, so when you meditate, you breathe this spirit into yourself and you breathe out. Breathe out what is holding you back. You just breathe it out, let the body put it out. Let the body think what it should to push it out. But breathe in that spirit into you. Breathe into yourself the feeling, this is for me, my path. It's not for everybody, of course. We're not saying that it is, and that is the point. You that hear, you that are listening, you that feel this power that strengthens you for your life, you will achieve that health and well-being. It will come to you. May take 1, 2, 3 days, may take 10 minutes, but it comes. Your being suddenly feels the energy and the power and the healing descend into you. You will be able to feel one moment you might be under some fever or some kind of malady. And in one moment, It all loosens and the fever disappears from a moment to a moment. And you feel it to leave you. This is a high level of sensitivity. An extremely high level of sensitivity comes to our students. This is a great power. It also extends itself to the things that have gripped you, like a demonic power, something that's demonic in you that grips your soul and doesn't let you go. One, from moment to a moment, will feel that this changes, that at one moment, the body is gripped by some power, and then suddenly the power leaves it. This is the result of your will to follow this path of the Spirit. It doesn't happen exactly instantly, but it does happen. It's your faith in it. It gives you the incentive. It's the faith you have in the power of the Spirit that will bring to you, will call to you at the right moment. Maybe not exactly when you call, but it comes. You called it, and it comes. The cosmos, the world, the Spirit, all together. It is here that you feel what is the value of the fact of your spiritual life, the value of it. It is like a bank account that you've put a little bit in every day, and suddenly you've lost track. Suddenly you need something. You need a reservoir of this deposit, and you wonder, where is it? How much is it? And when a little bit comes and you can rely upon it, then a little more comes and you can rely upon it, and you wonder and you look, how much has the world stored up for me? And you know how much the world has stored up for our students of the Spirit? It's a lot, my friends. It's a tremendous amount. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing for you to experience that what you have as a reservoir of spirituality is huge, is large. Now I can say to you that if you can get a vision of what it is that the Spirit wants from you, both upon the earth and in the heavens, what does it want of you for the heavens as well? And that's what I want to leave you with, this thought. It's not just for the earth that this is. It's what you're going to leave behind you as your legacy, that people will say of you, this is what you did when you lived, and to remember you for the life of devotion that you gave to that Spirit, for the life that you lived was transformed by that Spirit in remarkable ways, in wordless ways, in unspeakable ways. But people will find words to describe you and say, that was a really amazing human. Today, we live in an age where so much corruption is everywhere. It's so easy to be nervous and to feel we can't get anywhere and we can't go, we can't fulfill those things and we can't go to those places where everyone is destined to go somehow. We have to have a new path, another place to go for ourselves. That's right. We do, but it doesn't mean we lose faith and courage for what we can do today. But when those humans go down that path and they go through those things, it's because they don't have the Spirit in them that gives them the power to resist that you have and you do. The advantage that you have is that there with the Spirit, you have peace and tranquility. You have a power that will heal you because you want to know the truth. And the truth heals, strengthens, and gives you new life. With these thoughts, I leave you with this seventh lecture in our series on enlightenment and illumination. Thank you tonight for listening.